Hi, everybody. Ben Starr here with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And joined in the studio here by Kevin O'Donohue, of course, of the Positive Mind Center here on West 57th Street. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Ben.
A lot of changes going on.
A lot of changes
happening. And, of course, tomorrow's a big day. Tomorrow's actually a huge day on the calendar. Why is tomorrow a big day, Kevin?
Just the word, Ben. September.
September.
Every kid out there hates that word.
That's true.
And I venture to say every adult hates that word.
And
on some level, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Because,
yeah.
You know, summers are times to be free and expand. And good weather and longer days, more sunshine, and more good feelings. And September says, uh-oh, that's time to stop that.
Yeah, well, the calendar may say officially that September 21st is the first day of fall.
Yeah.
But in reality, you know, we're into September now, and at least culturally, it seems, Labor Day, which is coming up this weekend, Labor Day is really the bookend of the summer, isn't it?
Not for me. September 1st is.
For you, it's September 1st.
September 1st. Labor Day is a nice holiday, nice day to be off, but September 1st.
So yesterday we talked about change and transition, and we're going through that right now. We're going through that on many levels. I want to thank everyone who tuned in, and especially those of you who emailed us. Just to name a few, Alex, Dante, Nicholas, Monica, thank you to those of you who sent us emails. We love hearing from you, and you can always communicate. Contact us at positivemind@wbai.org, and you can email us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And, you know, give us your comments, your questions, your suggestions, and we're always open to getting your feedback on the show. But we're talking about change and transition. And what we outlined yesterday, Kevin, were the steps of how to make a change.
Yeah, and the five stages. And even before you actually make the change, I was glad to hear you talk about pre-contemplation, because you were talking about being an ex-smoker. And that even before you make the change, your mind is busy contemplating it. It's called pre-contemplation, actually.
Right. So let's just go over this, because some of your emails were asking us to go into more depth and to provide you links to this information online. And if any of you out there listening now would like that as well, you know, feel free to email us. We're happy to send it out. But it comes from the trans-theoretical model of psychology. And this is a model that's used all around the world. And it's based on principles that were developed through scientific research and many, many empirical studies, developed by Prochaska and DiClemente in 1983. And they break down change into stages. And their model is that anyone who's going through a change, even if they don't realize it, they are somewhere along these steps.
Yeah.
Even if they're not consciously going through these steps. Now, the great thing, the beautiful thing, is that when we have these steps, it enables us to consciously go through that process in a more constructive way.
Yeah.
So just to run those down again for you, because we got a lot of feedback around that. Step one is pre-contemplation. This is when you're subconsciously thinking about the change. You don't even realize it. You know, you may feel there are reasons that your current situation needs to change, but you're still not even at the mental step of, you know, acknowledging a need for change, which is, you know, a stage where we're not ready to change. Beyond that is the contemplation phase. Now, this is where we're actually thinking about the change. This is where we're getting ready for the change. Maybe mentally we're preparing ourselves, right? Step three is the preparation phase. Now, this is where we're actually taking real paths and real steps to making this change. We're not just getting prepared mentally. We're getting prepared physically. We're preparing ourselves emotionally. And, of course, step four, the action. This is where we're actually taking the steps to make this change, whatever it may be. And finally, after action, after we've completed the change, comes maintenance. Because it's not enough to just change, is it, Kevin?
Right. No. You have to. These are the critical stages. I think preparation, action, and maintenance are the critical, really critical stages where this theory by Prochaska and what's the other guy's name really come into play, where
DiClemente,
where you really need to work through the steps and constantly get reinforced, oftentimes with a buddy or somebody else.
And if maintenance, you know, if we don't pay attention to that final and critically important phase, we can go into step six, which would be relapse, which is where, you know, we go back to an earlier behavior or an earlier situation.
Right.
That was what we wanted to change in the first place. So that's why maintenance is so critical, Kevin.
Yeah. And I guess relapse must be so disappointing after all these stages and all the actions you've taken.
Of course, the language and a lot of this language and a lot of these concepts are closely associated with getting over a substance abuse problem, an alcohol problem, or smoking, which was the example we used yesterday.
Yeah.
But these can really be applied to a range of situations. I mean, Kevin, think about, you know, and you work with people all the time who come here, you know, looking to make a change, looking for support and structure and guidance in how to make those changes. But, I mean, think about the kinds of change people want to make. I mean, how broad that can be and the different avenues that people want to take and the facets of their life that they want to change. Like what, for example, could that be?
Well, often it's a change of life or a change of job. Frequently people come and want to talk about a change of work. And in concrete terms, how can I get to a higher level or, you know, stay in the job that I'm in, but get noticed more. So,
so if not an outright career change, then.
Yeah, maximizing the career that they do have and sharing with other people, you know, me, another person, their disappointments and their sense that I need to change something. Something needs to change at work. And then, of course, their relationships. All of these things are, you know, when somebody wants to go through a big change, they're often talking about one change, but they really mean four or five changes.
So, that gets tricky, doesn't it?
So when you talk about a relationship change, relationship issues, it often strikes into every aspect in somebody's life. Their work life, you know, their family life, their emotional life, their habitual life, their friendships.
So friendships, that's a big one I wanted to ask you about. Friendships are really tough to change because people do grow apart, don't they?
Sure.
And how many people out there, how many of you are out there, and you have a friend that you're friends with, but you don't really know why you're friends with them. Or maybe the only reason that you're still friends is because you have such a history of being friends.
Yeah.
But you've lost touch or you've grown apart. You no longer have in common the things that may have brought you together in the first place.
Well, you know, you're bringing up a great example with substance abuse people or drinkers, people who spend their leisure time in a bar or in a restaurant and hang out with people. Just, you know, when you take that away, and people come in and they sense that, look, my friendship is built on my doing this behavior with friends, and I don't want to be doing it anymore. I'm afraid I'll lose these friends if I stop drinking. As an ex-smoker, you must have run into that, or you must have that fear.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not as much with cigarettes because there's not a real. I don't think people get together to smoke cigarettes. For example, right? But I can tell you, Kevin, that I spoke to a young man who actually dropped out of school. He dropped out of university because he was really deep into, you know, smoking marijuana every day, all day.
Mm.
And it kind of came to consume his life.
Yeah.
And as a result, you know, he failed all his classes. He wound up dropping out.
Yeah.
And he was telling me, you know, part of what was scaring him about going, you know, because he knew that it was a problem and he knew that he needed to change.
Mm.
He knew that it wasn't serving him to be doing this from, you know, from morning till night every
mm-hmm.
day. But he told me part of what scared him was that all of his friends were doing it too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't even know why he spent time with some of his friends beyond getting high.
Yeah.
And, you know, that can be scary.
Yeah, that's
scary,
what I mean.
That's a scary change to make, you know, changing our friends.
And when you're not just changing your one behavior of the cigarette, the marijuana smoking, it is going to have implications in everything else. I'm not going to be turned on by the things that used to turn me on. I'm not going to have things in common with these people that I have in common with them seemingly now. So often when people come to therapy, they're talking about one change. Think about divorce. I mean, people who go through divorce, they're afraid they're going to lose all their friends. I'm going to lose all of her friends. She's going to lose all of my friends.
Right. And, well, what about the other side of that, Kevin? When you're friends with a couple who's splitting up, now, mm-hmm. a lot of times, you know, we feel almost compelled. I have to pick one or the other. Yeah. I have to pick who I'm going to stay friends with. I mean,
yeah.
That happens.
Unless you prepare. You know, I think what the five stages of change are talking about is this preparation, is seeing into the change that you want to make. And I think, yeah, automatically you're going to side with either the wife or the husband. But if you prepare for the change, if you see staying connected to both of them before the divorce happens, there's a better chance it'll come out the way you want it to come out.
Well, I'll tell you this, Kevin. I have, you know, male and female friends, some of them single, some of them in relationships, some of them married. And I think I would probably, and I'm friendly with most of their significant others.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would probably just opt to stay friends with the person that I was friends with in the beginning, right? Yeah. Wouldn't that make sense? I mean, not that there's anything wrong with trying to stay friends with both, but I think my natural inclination...
It changes, though.
My natural inclination would be to support and be loyal to the friend that I knew, you know, before.
Yeah. Well, you're saying loyalty, and that's a big thing, a big motivator. And that might be the case for you. In some cases in relationships, people end up liking my spouse's or my friend's friends more than, you know, I like my own friends, you know. So then it becomes, well, if my spouse is going to leave me, then I'm going to lose all these friends of hers that became my friends and that I really like.
Right.
So, you know, it's...
Divorce is probably one of the biggest changes we can experience beyond... I guess having kids is a big change.
Yeah, yeah.
Having kids change people. Everyone who's had a kid will tell you, you know, changes everything.
Yeah. We got a big reaction email yesterday about the empty nest syndrome. That's a big change. But which is more, divorce or the empty nest? I don't know. Both of them are really, really big changes.
I mean, they're both complete paradigm shift lifestyle changes, radical changes that happen very suddenly.
Very much.
So I think that's why they can be difficult.
Yeah.
But here we are, August 31st, going into September, the changing month, the changing season, as we approach the dying embers of the summer here in New York City. You're listening to The Positive Mind on 99.5 FM WBAI. I'm Ben Starr, here with Kevin O'Donohue. And we thought we'd bring you, well, a change, because we don't usually play music this early, but we thought we'd change it up. And just bring you a nice short piece of music that made us think.
April, come she will, when streams are ripe and swelled with rain. Resting in my arms again. June, she'll change her tune. In restless walk she'll prowl the night. July, she give no warning to her flight. August, die she must. The autumn winds blow chilly and cold. September, I'll remember. A love once knew has now grown old.
Simon and Garfunkel here on The Positive Mind. Mm. Sentimental little favorite of Kevin's that we wanted to work in there for you today.
Die She Must. August. Yeah, it is a sentimental favorite. I feel a lot when I hear that song. The autumn winds blow chilly and cold. So, but I'm prepared this year. I've looked into September and October and November, and I'm prepared. I see great things. I start my racquetball games again.
Hey, so, weren't Simon and Garfunkel from Queens?
From Corona, you bet.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to Queens.
There you go. So we're talking about change. We're talking about transition. And wanted to come up with some strategies, some ways to help you make the change and solidify the change that you want to make in your life. And all of us, even the best of us, can certainly point out to areas of our life where we're not living up to what we know we can, where we're not maximizing our potential, our abilities, what we know we're capable of. I mean, I think that's pretty universal, don't you, Kevin?
Yeah. I just thought about this yesterday after you mentioned pre-contemplation. I am pre-contemplating a lot of changes that I'm not even aware of, you know? I'm thinking about the body and the mind is always telling me something else needs to happen. Something else. I want something more. I need to make a change. It's pretty vague to me right now. It hasn't landed on anything specific. But I think I'm always in a state of pre-contemplation of certain changes. Certainly my diet is constantly in the background of something I'm going to change. And my rituals at night is certainly something I'm going to change. So I wonder if that's something you notice in yourself. Like, are you've been talking about Montana.
Yeah, I have this feeling of being pulled away from the city. I want to be somewhere with wide open spaces and, you know, out in nature, close to the land, where the air is crisp.
Yeah.
I love the city, Kevin, but there just recently I've been longing for a change, for a big change, and I don't know if I'll even do it, but Montana.
Right.
Looks beautiful to me. It's got some of the most pristine, untouched wilderness out there. And
it just sort of happened for you out of nowhere. Isn't this kind of what pre-contemplation is?
Sure.
Like it just appears and says, oh, you know, I'm not ready to do that. I don't even want to give it a lot of thought just yet. But it's back there and maybe it's energizing. It might be something for me.
So here are some steps. Here are some strategies to take to make a change. The first one being choose what it is you want to change and make it one thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like reminded that. Remember that movie Airplane, Kevin? And there's that one guy, he says, looks like I picked the wrong day to quit sniffing glue. And then throughout the rest of the movie, you know, he picked the wrong day to quit doing this or the wrong day to quit doing that. You got to pick one thing.
Right.
Right? Okay. Pick one thing and make it a priority. Put it at the top of your list and tell yourself, this is what I'm going to work around. This is what I'm going to focus on. Because it's very, very hard to juggle many things at once.
And it makes sense psychologically because you're going to get bombarded with a whole bunch of messages, a whole bunch of different stuff to tell you to stop trying to stop or stop trying to change.
So now you've chosen the thing. Now you've chosen what you want to change. And you have to tell yourself, I am going to put this change above all other changes in my life. I'm going to make this my focus, my path, my mission, my priority. And then you're going to remind yourself of it every day. This is where accountability comes in. Holding ourselves responsible. Holding our own feet to the fire. But that's often not enough, Kevin. That's why we got to get our friends, our family, our loved ones, even our coworkers. We have to get the people in our lives involved.
That's the tough part.
We have to enlist their support. Even if it's just moral support, we have to enlist the help of those people around us because it's so difficult to make this kind of change alone.
Mm.
Okay? Then, the tracking. Important to track our progress, to assess. I recommend keeping a journal, keeping a log, a daily log, right?
Mm.
We touched a little bit on 12-step programs yesterday.
Yeah.
Because we were talking in the context of habits and addictions and substances. But again, it doesn't have to be only about that.
Sure.
However, in 12-step programs, people use the strategy of affirmations, right? Waking up every day and reminding themselves what they may be grateful for or the positive things in their life.
Mm.
And that, I think, goes in well with tracking our progress and assessing it and keeping a journal.
And they also have sponsors.
Yes. Well, that also goes to the point of enlisting the support of family, friends, and loved ones. So that's, you know, the support, you can't say enough about that.
Yeah. I've known a few people have gone through it and said that mostly it's been this, their sponsor relationship that has kept them to it and has made it doable. Without the sponsor, they couldn't imagine of making the transition.
Right.
So I think that's an important part. So this is all in the action stage.
And look, I mean, as we mentioned earlier, Kevin, change is scary. It's scary. It's the fear of the unknown, right? Walking over into the abyss. No one knows what's on the other side. We know our past. It may be painful or difficult, but at least it's familiar and it can be comfortable.
Yeah.
Our future is what scares us. And as we said yesterday, when I'm changing a part of myself, the fear is that, am I going to change who I am? And am I even going to like the person that I am after I make the change?
Yeah. I think that's probably the biggest fear of all. And that's why preparation is so important. You have to see yourself after you've made the change. What's going to change if I lose 50 pounds? What's going to change if I stop smoking? What's going to change if I move to San Francisco? What's going to change if I break up this relationship? You know, who am I going to be? Who do I want to be? What do I want to keep about myself going into the change? And what maybe do I want to let go of?
I've spoken to people who were incarcerated and told me that they were terrified of their release date because they'd come to be so accustomed to the daily structure and the daily rituals of that experience. As difficult and challenging and much of a struggle as that experience can be, the release into the completely unstructured world out there where no one is waking you up in the morning, meals are not at a set time. There's no guarantee of anything really.
Mm.
And
so what I would do with a person like that is I said, did a part of you fall asleep when you were in jail? Is there a part of you that's been in lockdown? And how can we bring that back out? And I mean, that's kind of what living a conscious life is, going from that sleepiness, that unconsciousness, to being aware and being conscious and choosing from those places instead of impulse choices from the unconscious place.
Sure. And over the fun drive, we spoke with Sebastian Younger about veterans. Right.
Yes.
And that's another group of people who a lot of people who are active duty, who are in the service, will tell you that they have anxiety around, you know, the end of their service, around their discharge.
Yeah.
Because they've become so used to this very specific, very structured environment
where they knew who they were and what they had to do
and their purpose.
Yeah.
That's a big part of it.
Yeah. So it's that anxiety. It's the anxiety, you say, of the unknown. America coming back to America is an unknown. Even for the Peace Corps, Sebastian was telling us about Peace Corps volunteers. They have to 25% of them come back and suffer with PTSD. And he didn't call it PTSD. He called it alienation syndrome. There's an alienation when you go through this change, this transformation, coming back to a place, and you're different, and you're not sure who you are just yet. And so I like this idea of a sponsor and a buddy as you're making transitions and changes. And even Sebastian said, we need something like that.
Absolutely, Kevin. So. Now, something I think that's worth pointing out is you take a moment to think about the fact that change is such a constant in our environment, in our world, that it really is a critical tool for the stable and functioning person to be able to navigate that change. Right? I mean, there is no escaping change.
Yeah.
If you leave, let's say we talked about vacation recently. Let's say you go on vacation for a week. After a week, you're going to come back. You're going to find your neighborhood has changed. Maybe not radically, maybe not drastically, but things will have changed.
Mm.
You know, if you for example, for young people that may go away to college, right?
Mm.
There's a very, very well-known movie, Garden State.
Oh, yeah.
Right, where the guy's home for his first Thanksgiving, I think that's what the premise is.
Yeah.
First Thanksgiving for a lot of people who go away to college, right? Thanksgiving break freshman year is the first time that they go back home. And this is a very difficult experience for a lot of people.
Interesting.
Because not only has the home area changed and the home environment changed in the months they've been away, but they've changed.
Mm-hmm.
And dealing with that is really tough. That's like that first realization that you can't go home again.
Yeah.
Right?
I'd love to hear from that population. Call us and tell us what it was like going away to college and then coming back that first Thanksgiving and what they saw that changed. You know, Armand would say, nothing changed. You changed.
Right.
The change was always there in front of you. It was just sort of clouded. And when you went away and came back, you could see it more clearly. And often that's what change is. We're often always all going under some kind of change. Right now, change in our relationships, the way we talk to our close and loved ones. Everything is evolving. Everything is changing. And so if you go away for a week or two or three, if you turn off the TV for a week or a month.
Or forever.
You will see your whole neighborhood will change. Everything will change. So you're right. You know, these changes stuff is all around us going on all the time.
And I think we're going to hear a clip a little bit later from the archives of Armand DeMille about this very subject. But I think one of the things he mentions is the people who are most successful, and when we say successful, we don't necessarily mean financially successful, but say interpersonally and personally, you know, self-actualized human beings, those people are often the people who are most equipped to deal with the change around them.
Yeah. Excited by change, ready for change. Are you ready for change? Are you a person who is stuck in their ways and just fears change and stays in the house and, you know, only keeps the kind of friends and only does the certain habits that they have and have done for years and are afraid to change?
I think about just the radio, for example, that you're listening to this show on right now. When the radio came out as a new technology, people thought it was degenerate. People thought it was going to be the death of newspapers. People thought it was a terrible thing. Yeah. Mm. And look where, you know, look where it went. Look what it did. Yeah. So, okay. and then you have, you know.
Now the internet is that demon.
Of course.
For the older generation,
of course.
That demon. I'm not joining that crowd.
Right. And the people who were the early adopters of the internet and the people who were the early birds and seeing the potential of the internet really capitalized off that and did pretty well.
So I'm just going to review for people what you said, Ben, about the steps to take when you're going to make a change. You said choose one thing.
Right. Choose what you're going to change.
Make it a priority.
Put it above everything else.
Everything else. Be accountable to it.
Yep.
Remind yourself.
Every day.
Said yesterday I was going to do this. I'm still doing it today. Connect to somebody else. Tell them about what you're doing.
Right. Enlist the support of friends and family.
And then monitor it. Keep a log. Keep a journal. Mark your progress.
Absolutely. You are listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM. We're going to take a short musical break. Another change from what we're used to. We're going to hear music in another language today, which is something we don't usually do. But hey, we're talking about change. Back after this.
Hace frío y estoy lejos de casa. Hace tiempo que estoy sentado sobre esta piedra. Yo me pregunto, ¿para qué sirven las guerras? Tengo un cohete en el pantalón. Vos estás tan fría como la nieve a mi alrededor. Vos estás tan blanca y yo no sé qué hacer. La otra noche te esperé bajo la lluvia 2 horas, 1000 horas, como un perro. Llegaste, me miraste y me dijiste, loco, estás mojado, ya no te quiero. En el circo, vos ya sos una estrella. Una estrella roja que todo se lo imagina. Si te preguntan, vos no me conocías. No, no, yo tengo un cohete en el pantalón. Vos estás tan fría como la nieve a mi alrededor. voz está tan blanca que ya no sé qué hacer.
Here on WBAI. Hey, estoy Ben Starr y estás escuchando The Positive Mind. There's a change. WBAI wants to bring in more Spanish language programming. So hey, we'll play some Spanish music now and then. Why not?
We go many ways.
And a reminder, we need you to become a WBAI buddy. Log on to WBAI.org, click on ways to donate, and become a BAI buddy in support of The Positive Mind. If you like this program, if you appreciate the content, and you want to hear more of it, and you want to hear us continued, you know, next year and beyond, then please, go ahead, become a BAI buddy. It's $10 a month. It's tax deductible. You help us eliminate fund drives by doing that, and we all would love to eliminate fund drives, listeners and producers alike. So the more of you that go to WBAI.org and become a BAI buddy, the fewer fund drives we need to do, and the shorter those fund drives need to be. So thanks again for those of you who have done so thus far in the name of The Positive Mind. And to those of you thinking about it, hey, don't just think about it, do it.
Please do it. We need your help and we need your support. And it says a lot to the station that you support us here at The Positive Mind. We're working hard and we'll continue to work hard to try and give you the programming you like. So please
Absolutely.
Become a buddy.
So we're talking about change and transition here on The Positive Mind as we head into September, as we really are getting into the waning days of summer.
Yeah.
And it's a topic that really is kind of close to our heart. At least I know it's close to my heart. Because there's something very connected to childhood about it.
Yeah.
There's something that's very primal that goes back to our earliest years of life, being kids, being out of school in the summer, and the freedom and the possibilities that carried. And then going back to school and the possibilities that presented, but also the change of, you know, structure of our days. And, you know, a lot of us didn't like homework. I think I'm not the only one. But, yeah, so this is what's going on. And we do have, as we mentioned before the break, a little piece from the archives of Armand DeMille with him talking about change and the different types of change. We wanted to bring that to you. That was a great find by Kevin. Good job, Kevin.
Thank you. He's a master of change and transition.
So let's just give you a little taste of that archive piece from Armand, and we'll be back after this to break it down.
Very important things to know about change. One is called the transition, and the other thing is called change. Change is the physical happening itself. It's the thing that takes place. Transition is a psychological state of mind. Change is situational. The new site, the new boss, the new something. Change is physical, like moving from California to Arizona. But the transition is a psychological process that people go through to come to terms with the new situation. This takes time. It takes time to go through change. It doesn't happen automatically. You know, it just doesn't shift all at once. The brain has to adapt. In a transition, there is a new ending. When you move from one thing to the other, you have to have an ending point For a person to successfully make a change, they have to leave the past. And in a transition, you have to arrive at a new place. So how do you go from one place where you were to the new place that you want to be? This is the art of transition. Transition has a period of a neutral zone. The psychological period of transition is much slower than the physical. When you move to a new neighborhood, the physical change usually occurs fast. But the inward psychological transition happens much more slowly. Just think about the fact that maybe you are one of those people whose family moved, and your family moves and you have to go to a new school. Well, it's a new school. It's so simple. What's so hard, right? But it's traumatic to many people because there's a lot of adjustment to take place psychologically. Now, even here at the station, even as we listen, we watch the transition here, there's a piece of us that has to hold on to the past. And there's another piece of us that, you know, is fighting, saying, oh, the past was good. And therefore, we have to have the past be the present. But there's somebody saying, no, the past is gone. Now deal with the new present. How do you integrate your mind so that this becomes the new present, so that you could positively work with whatever the present is for a new future? This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. Unless the transition, the psychological transition, takes place, the change never works. It doesn't work. It kind of falls down. So how do you encourage people to in some way go through the transitions? That's the job of the changers. Now, unfortunately, many changers are not very good at that. What they do is they say, oh, here's the fact, everything has changed and you have no adjustment period. There's no consideration of you because we don't know how to help you go through transition. We are powerless. So the only thing we think we could do is take away what you thought you had and have you deal with it. Well, unfortunately, that's the way people do things. Not my way, but it's the way people do things. It's because they're powerless. Why do people use such power to cut things and not allow anybody any voice? Because sometimes the person who is responding to the changes takes on these desperate voices of, oh, no, don't change anything, don't change anything, don't change anything. Well, that's the problem. See, there are two kinds of changes. There's the change that you do, and there's the change that is foisted upon you. Those two changes now. So do you like change? If you decide that you're going to make a change, if you plan the change, and you decide to do a change, you like that. Because your transition is already set up in your mind. You see, in your mind, you've already transitioned to the new place. Therefore, when you make the change, like let's say you're going to get a new car, you've already thought about the car. You've already considered the car. Then you let go of your old car. It's easy to let it go. You don't go crying about your old car. You say, I'm ready. I've made this change. But if somebody takes your car away or they steal your car, you're going to have a heartbroken attachment to it because it happened to you. So change is significant when you do it, as opposed to when it's done to you. It's very important to determine this. Now, of course, in this neutral zone of transition, there's a time for creativity, renewal, development. The individual that can capitalize on the time of transition will emerge with a new sense of growth. The person who looks at a transition, who looks at a change, and says, all right, here are all the factors. Here come the change. How am I going to grow from this? How am I going to make this a better thing for me? Or how am I going to make it be good for me? How am I going to be okay in the middle of this? That's where we learn.
That's where we learn. And yeah. You know, the difference between the change that you do and the change that happens to you, it reminded me of an experience that I had some years ago, Kevin. Mm. I had a friend of mine. And we were talking about couples, right? Yeah. And being friends with couples and then right. How that happens and when the relationship ends. I had a friend of mine who was in a relationship, and she told me that she was unhappy in this relationship and that it wasn't working anymore for her, and she wanted to separate from her partner. Hmm. And I said, okay, you know, you got to do what makes you happy. You're my friend. I want to see you happy. You know, I support you, whatever decision you make. And sometime later, she came to me and was like devastated, and I said, well, what's the matter? And she told me that her boyfriend had actually broken up with her. And I said, wait a minute. You were telling me that you were unhappy in this relationship. Isn't this kind of a blessing? Isn't this exactly what you wanted? Right. Isn't this the change you wanted to make? And she said, yeah, but I didn't want to get broken up with, you know? She wanted to be the one in control. She wanted to be the one making the change. So there you go. The change happened to her instead of her making the change, and she felt completely different about
it. Yeah, I could understand that. I could understand that. That frustration of the picture that I have of how I'm going to do this is frustrated and is actually turned against me. So it's not so much the change itself that I'm interested in, it's how I make the change and how it's being made. So I can understand their frustration. And
we'd love to fear. Hear. We'd love to hear from some of our listeners out there. If you want to share with us some changes that you've made or how you made those changes or changes that happened to you and how you navigated those changes. The number in the studio here is 212-757-5555. That's 212-757-5555.
Or you could call us and tell us about what you're what stage you're on in certain changes.
Yeah, we talked
you might
about
actually
the stages
of change. Be pre-contemplating a lot of changes.
Absolutely.
I think we're all walking around pre-contemplating all the time. So we could hear from them or even the college student who went away, and came back at Thanksgiving.
I'd love
to hear that experience.
I don't know why I read the number twice, Kevin, because it's like it's just one of those numbers. Like the first time you hear that number, you almost remember it for the rest of your entire life. Armand had a thing about aesthetic numbers, and he's the one who got that phone number because he loved nice, round, aesthetically pleasing numbers. So let's take a call. We have a caller on the line, Kevin.
Yes, we have Luis on the phone.
Hi, Luis.
On the line. Hey, Luis.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, man. How are you? So you're going through a change?
Yeah, actually, I was listening to your station. I was listening to the transition of change and everything. It was really cool, but I was also wanted to mention I kind of lived through change. Like every like year or two, I kind of like shed like a new skin, I would say. So I feel like change is in my comfort zone.
Hmm.
And right now, for example, I am going through a completely new change. You know what I mean? So I'm getting a new job. I just moved to a new apartment. Everything, relationships, everything.
So change really doesn't. Different. Does change scare you on any level?
You know what? At first, it's kind of scary, but I mean, I'm so used to change that now it's kind of like if something stays, like if I get into a routine of something, I think that scares me a little bit more than the actual change itself.
Did you go through a lot of change as a kid? Like, was your family moving a lot?
Growing up, I was constantly moving stuff like that. So, and I'm the type of person that, if I live in the same apartment for a long time, I'll remodel it every couple months because I just need it completely different.
Wow. Well, you're well equipped for life. I mean, if you have this quality, this is a big, big hurdle for a lot of people. If you've got it in your DNA, you're ahead of the game. It sounds like you're a high energy guy.
Yeah, no, I am. But you know what? It is very frustrating when change happens to you. Like you said, the girl that her boyfriend broke up with her.
Yeah, it must be particularly
when change hits you. That's hard.
Tell me about it. When has a change happened that you didn't choose? Because you're telling us that you make all of your changes. You've been the decider in all the changes.
Yeah.
What happens when it's made for you?
Well, you know what? So about 5 years ago, I was I'm originally from Mexico, and I was forced to make a change. I was forced to move to Mexico to fix my papers. I've never been to Mexico. I grew up in the United States. So that was kind of like a forceful change, and it hit me hard. And I was there for about 2 years, and I could say, I could probably tell you, maybe 14 months out of those 2 years was me just dealing with the change, But then, that was the hardest thing. When I came back, it was like I was ready, I was ready to be back and deal with the change. But, I got to tell you, ever since that happened, a forceful change that ends, that forceful, it kind of just made me, accept change. It's going to happen. It's inevitable. So just
Perfect.
Go with it. Don't.
And I guess you probably learned from that that you will try throughout your life to avoid places where somebody's going to make the change for you.
Could you repeat that? I'm sorry.
I said you probably got into a place where you really understand that you like to be in the driver's seat when you make the change.
Absolutely. I knew anybody would.
Yeah. So, good lessons to learn. And Luis, thanks for calling.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
You bet. Be well.
212-757-5555. What struck me, Kevin, was he said that he experienced change a lot as a kid.
Yeah.
So he grew to understand that change is a constant, that change is really kind of became his comfort zone. I think that there's something to be said for that. If you're raising kids out there and you want them to be, well-adjusted and well-equipped to deal with change, not that you have to move around, once a year or anything like that, but, maybe it's good to, keep it up, keep it varied, keep things different, help those kids, get used to feeling change and transition, on a small scale at least.
We have another Lewis on the line.
Lewis.
Lewis number two. Lewis, how are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
So tell us about your marriage and the change that's happening there.
Well, actually, it happened already, but I was married since 84, and okay. Around, I would say, 2003, it just...
And was it hard on you when the change came?
Yeah, because, the way our relationship was, raising the kids and my second kid, it's a 14-year difference between our kids.
Okay.
Our first and second, so... As I was already, the marriage was going bad. It was like I had decided already in my head that it wasn't worth staying.
Mm.
But I stood a little longer because my son was like 10, 11, 9, years. So I wanted him to make sure, I was there the way I was for the first one.
Okay. So you had to sacrifice a little bit for the change you wanted to make.
Right. Yeah, I think you have to. That's what we all do, right? Look. You guys are talking about change. I'm from South America.
Okay.
I came in 68.
Right.
My name, like the first guy you talked to, is really Luis.
Uh-huh.
When I came here, my name was, everybody I talked to, as I said, they always said Lewis. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
I guess it's because, the American way and things like that.
Of course.
And, change is something we just go through.
Yeah. So how are you with your ex right now and your kids?
I go see my kids a lot. I wouldn't say a lot the way I used to, but I go see them. Like I was just there a few days ago. My kids are in their 30s now, and the youngest is 24. I go there. The relationship with my wife is not, the way it was, of course, the way we were married, but it's just so much strain. You think that when you get married, like I was the only woman I married, I loved her. The love, it starts to fail, and people, I don't know, they don't think to give it all. Know what I'm saying?
No, I do know what you're
saying. A marriage is a team.
Yes, it is. And you also
have to sacrifice for each other. You have to forget about yourself. It's about her, and she should be thinking the same way about you, right?
Yeah, and I think you have to renew your vision about the marriage, revisit that and talk with each other and say, okay, we're in a different stage in the marriage now. How can we both recreate and recommit? Because after kids, things change. And you become strangers to each other. And if you just have the talk, and this is what this is what Armand was talking about. If you prepare for the next stage, then you can stay together and just be different people.
Right, friends. We can even be the best of friends. You're right, because I noticed that, we definitely, there's something between us. There's a wall there. I sense it. It's always, when we see each other, I just feel it there. And there's nothing like it used to be, because we used to be friends before, we got married and all.
Ah, what a shame. Okay, well, listen, Luis, thank you for giving us info about your changes, and keep calling us. You sound like a guy who has a lot to share.
Yeah, I always listen to you guys. You guys keep doing a great job.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Luis. I appreciate that. Hey, thank you.
So
that may be the
change.
First time, Kevin, that I can remember that we had back-to-back callers that shared a name. I was just thinking about that. Yes, probably the first time I can remember.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's happened.
I'm sure there's probably a Luis for every 8 New Yorkers is a Luis.
I've known many.
Yeah,
I've known many.
So there it is, back to back Luises. Now so, we'll take a Louise. We'd like to have a Louise call.
Sure.
That's a joke, but we'd like to have some female callers who've been through changes, you know, and whatever it is, even if you're pre-contemplating some kind of change, where do you want to get to? What is it you think needs to be changed in you?
We have time for one more caller. 212-757-5555. The hour flies, Kevin. Flies by.
Armand talked about the neutral zone. You know, when you're making that change, that's the part where the changes are happening. You do all the preparation, you start taking the actions, and then you're in this kind of neutral zone. And that's the critical stage, the neutral zone. And it takes time. Change is difficult. Okay, we have another caller. Just give me a moment.
Sure. So we talked about the various spheres of our life that we may want to change. And Kevin touched on work, relationships, financial situation, whether it's our habits or even our friends. And, you know, it can be a very big challenge to even begin one of these changes. But that's why I encourage you to look up those stages of changes that we were talking about, because it's a great guide. It's a great kind of skeleton for, you know, the process.
The bones. Ben, we have Tina on the line.
Hi, Tina.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Good Tina. How are you?
Oh, fine, thanks. First, I have a comment, and then I have a question to ask you.
Sure.
My comment is that...
Tina, excuse me.
I think you guys are talking... I appreciate the information, but I think you guys are talking in very general terms.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Can I just ask you very quickly, Tina?
If I may.
Tina.
Because you're saying, okay, set your priorities in terms of what you want to change and follow it every day, take mm-hmm. notes, yeah. do the journals and logging and all of that.
Yes.
It's not that easy, especially no. when you are dealing with heavy emotional issues.
Yes.
So, you know, I would like to see a little bit more of the intricacies that are involved
And
my question is that how do you... I don't even know how to say it, but let me give you the example. If you are having in a bad relationship and you wanna change it, how do you emotionally prepare yourself, especially that you know you don't have that kind of a support that you are referring to?
It's a great, great question, Tina. And it is complicated, and you're right. When emotions are involved, certainly it gets really complicated, and these steps sound very, very simplistic. But they're really just a template for you to use. They're just sort of reminders of how, okay, I want to go through one change at a time. So you're talking about you want to change a relationship. The first thing is that, you know, you need to get clear about what kind of change you want to make. Now, that might change. It might be variable, depending on your moods, depending on your emotions. So you need to maybe take the advice that Ben was talking about to write something down to keep
track. I do that. And I do want to have some more. I know what kind of change that I want to have.
Okay.
I would like to have more communications in the relationship, and this is really difficult.
Yes. Okay, well, hopefully you can turn to your partner and be specific about what makes it difficult from their side and what makes it difficult from your side. Obviously, Tina, we're running into the end of the show.
All right.
Thanks for calling. Call us back, or if you want to call me, you can call me at the Positive Mind Center, 212-757-4488.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for everyone out there tuning in today and for our callers for participating. We did run up against the end of the show rather quickly today. Thanks again. And remember, you can email us positivemind@wbai.org. Tune in next week, same time, same place, 1 p.m., 99.5 FM. Take care.